Hello and welcome to the Flagstaff County Podcast. I'm your host, Carrie Castagna, Communications Coordinator for Flagstaff County. I am joined today by a very creative and artistic lady from the Killam area, Kristen Kieber. Kristen, thank you for stopping by today.
Thanks for having me, Carrie.
You're listening to the official podcast of Flagstaff County. Now, first off, congratulations on being accepted into the Calgary Stampede Gallery Show and Sale and the Mini Masterpieces Show and Sale.
Thank you.
That's quite the accomplishment. Can you tell us a little bit more about this?
Yeah. Basically, applications come out at the start of the year. That's a bit about the process. And I applied to the gallery show with three new pieces that I had done. And all three pieces got accepted to the gallery show. And then for the mini masterpieces, I submitted like samples of my work. And so once I got accepted for that, now I have to make up to 7 pieces of artwork for that show. And they're 100 square inches maximum size. So now I'm busy creating these pieces for that show.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Now that just broadens your audience.
Oh.
There's going to be so many people that are going to see your work now.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. I feel lucky to have been chosen. And I'm just excited to see what it brings.
All right. So let's just dive right into it. I've got a list of questions here for you. So we'll just start right from the beginning. What inspired you to become a painter in the first place?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of a funny question because there was no moment where I was like, oh, I'm going to be a painter. But I've always been interested in drawing and painting. As a kid, I can remember that I was excited to turn 9 years old because that's the age that you can join a 4-H club. Oh. And in our small community growing up, our 4-H club actually had sketching and painting projects. And so once you were 9, you could take those projects. And it was a very talented community member. And so I joined the sketching projects as soon as I could. And yeah, I've always dabbled in painting and drawing. And it wasn't until about maybe 8 years ago I started painting more consistently. And of course, that was like when, you know, Instagram and other things came on the scene and you started seeing what other artists were doing, which is super inspiring. And then I also saw other people, you know, having art businesses, which to me was really inspiring. And I decided that that was something that I want to do. And since then, it's just sort of been gathering momentum.
Also, really only the last 8 years.
Yeah, I would say so, that I decided that it was something that I wanted to actively pursue, right? Yeah.
Very cool. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit about your style. Mm-hmm. Can you describe your artistic style and how your style has evolved over the last 8 years?
Yeah, because it really, well, maybe right from the beginning I could start at, because it really has evolved over time. Currently, I'm painting animal portraits and animals on the landscape. And as far as style, I just really like to see how far I can push my range of colors. So I really like bold, saturated colors and then like soft pastel colors as well. I like to use lost and found edges. So if you look at my paintings, you might notice that some of the edges on animals or in the background are quite like blurred out. And I find that sort of useful to like push the viewer's eye to the focal point around the painting. And I like to vary my brush strokes. I like to have like some, one person described it to me as like, you seem to have aggressive brush strokes. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of one way to put it. But I like to have a variety. So I like to have some big, obvious brush strokes in my paintings and then, you know, some softer brush strokes as well. So I feel
just
like
mix it up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I just feel like it adds some interest to a painting. And of course, that's all it is a style. There's some people, you know, prefer different ways of painting, and that's all good. That's what makes everybody's art unique to them. When I started out with art, I really like to do realistic pencil drawings and charcoal drawings. And yeah, then I dabbled for a while in watercolor. And when my kids were young, I did acrylic paint because it dried very quickly. Okay. Yeah. And now I really like using oil paint. That's just been within the last year. In the home we're in right now, I have a lot more space to let paintings dry. And my kids are older, so they know not to touch them. And yeah, so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
As far as your style. So as far as materials and techniques, you kind of touched on this a little bit, but what materials and techniques do you prefer to use in your paintings?
Yeah, so right now I'm basically using like straight oil paint. There's a lot of different like solvents and mediums and things that you can add to them. I basically use straight oil paint. I use one solvent that I use to clean my brushes. And sometimes while I'm painting, if I really want to move to especially a lighter color, then I'm making sure I give that brush a good rinse in the solvent to make sure I don't have any pigments in there that I don't want. And then I use that to clean up my brushes as well. But yeah, I'm sort of limiting myself with what I'm using because sometimes it can actually get a little bit, I don't know, like overwhelming when you try to choose too many things to put into a painting. So right now I'm focusing on that and I want to try to like explore that and learn all about that first before I start moving on to something else.
All right. Now I'm interested as far as the creative process. How do you approach the creative process when starting a new piece?
Yeah. So I feel like this is something that has changed in the last year for me as well. The way my process works is I always start off with a reference photo. And I usually switch things around in a reference photo, but basically, you know, there's something in my eye or in that photo that has caught my eye. And right now it's definitely been animals. The first thing I do with that photo is I drop it into a program on my iPad. It's a program called Procreate. And I really play around with the colors and the cropping and changing the background just to see what I think would make the most appealing painting. And yeah, that's where I really enjoy pushing my colors. And I find it's really freeing on the iPad because you can just try some crazy things and there's just really limited commitment to it. You don't like it, you just hit the back button or delete that error. And so once I like it on my iPad, then I draw it out on a canvas and I paint it. Usually by the time I hit paint to canvas, I've got a lot of the decisions made about my painting and I tend to have like worked out the problems of a painting on my iPad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. So are there specific themes or subjects that you find yourself drawn to in your artwork? And I know cows come to mind, yeah. But you do so much more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, like you said, recently it's been like a lot of cows, but yeah, animals in general, I feel like I'm really exploring I'm really enjoying the animal portrait painting, but I do like other farm animals and wildlife. Typically, it's things you'd see on the Canadian prairies. I feel like my art really comes from a place of you know, loving that I grew up on a farm on these Canadian prairies, and that is just like infused into mm-hmm. all of my art. So
it's very Flagstaff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you ever get like creative blocks? Like how do you deal with creative blocks or challenges in your painting process?
Yeah. The word creative block, I'm not sure that I really get a creative block, like where I don't know maybe what to do next. I think it's because I have limited time to paint. You know, we've got a family and that comes first. And, you know, it's kind of more of a part-time thing for me. So any time that I get in the studio, I'm really trying to use wisely. One thing that I think keeps my momentum going is that I have a really large collection of photos that I've gathered. So if I sort of am like, okay, what's next? What am I painting next? I look through that collection of photos and, you know, that's where I start. So from there, again, like I say, I get it into the iPad and get going on it. And there's pieces that I have like played around with on my iPad and I'm happy with, and I just have them sitting in a file too. So, yeah, that really helps me know where I'm going to do next, or where I'm going to go next. Sorry. And yeah, sometimes there's times that I just don't feel like painting, but, you know, I'm trying to treat this as a business, and sometimes you just have to go down into the studio and paint. You know, I think there's always things we don't necessarily feel like doing, right?
But
we just go and do them anyway. And usually once I get down there and get going, then that just disappears.
But I'm guessing you have a lot of ideas that you want to work on when you get the chance, right?
So absolutely. Yeah.
And so you make the most of your time.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And as far as like problems with specific paintings, there's different things that I do. Like maybe partway through a painting, if I don't like where it's going, then I'll take another photo of it, play with it in my iPad. And I've got, you know, different artist friends that we, you know, shoot, you know, drafts of paintings back and forth. And, you know, something doesn't quite feel right about this. What do you think? And, and that's really great to have that support and other ideas too. And sometimes if a painting isn't going the way you want it to go, you just turn it around and put it in the corner for a couple of weeks. And then when you go back to it and look at it with fresh eyes, you know, sometimes it just comes to you what needs fixing, or sometimes nothing really needs fixing. You were just kind of getting a little, you were overthinking it.
Yeah. Yeah. So sometimes you got to just let it marinate a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Can you share a memorable experience or story related to one of your paintings?
Yeah, I think I'm trying to think which one I want to share. This one I always sticks to the front of my mind, 'cause I think it was a while back when I first joined the art club when I had moved to Alberta. And several of us in our art club were exploring a media called wax resist. And so you melt some wax down and you use a stylus to do the edges of your drawing. And it's very easy to make a mistake. And I had bumped my stylus and I had a white blob of wax in the middle of my painting. But I was so happy with the rest of it that I just ignored that white blob. And I went for it and I finished it and I ended up displaying it. And I ended up selling that piece, and the lady who bought it told me that she really wanted to buy it for her daughter-in-law, and she loved the white blob because her daughter-in-law was such a light in their family. She's like, that's why I want that painting for her. So I thought that was a really awesome. Cool story. Wow. Yeah.
Huh. So how do you choose the color palette for your artworks?
Yeah, so I have about maybe 10 or 12 of my favorite colors in the studio, and I try to stick to those. For each of my paintings, I try to pick about 5 or 6 colors, which includes white. Use a lot of white for mixing, and I just try to focus on like mixing a range of colors from there. Kind of by limiting yourself, I feel like you can use, you know, you get a little better at mixing your own colors and finding some neat combinations that you might not find if you're just using like the colors straight out of the tube. So, and that's just my preference. Everybody does it differently. So, and then for each painting, again, it's just like playing around with that photo. And sometimes the colors that I use are very influenced by what colors are in the reference photo. And sometimes I just like experiment and try to add a really bold, bright color and see where it goes.
Yeah, I find you use a lot of vibrant colors, eh?
Yeah.
Is that really is your style?
Like, yeah. I really like to try to like push those bright colors and see if I can make them work or not.
Yeah, I always think it looks amazing. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So are there any artists or movements that have significantly influenced your work?
Yeah, and I would say like so many artists have, like I wouldn't even know where to start saying that, you know, to pick and choose which artists particularly have influenced my work. You know, the artists in our local art club to people that I've seen on Instagram and I've maybe never even met before. There's way too many to list here, but I could mention two that are probably the most influential recently. Is two artists that I've mentored with through a company called Masterius, and I'll just sort of drop that company name. That if you're anybody who wants to like explore art further, or need some help with it, or just want some guidance in playing around with it, Masterius is amazing. So check them out for sure.
Wait, how do you spell that?
Oh, yes.
It's Master?
Masterius. So Masterius.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Masterius. So the first one is Doug Swinton, and he's an artist from Calgary. So he's the first one that I mentored with, and I learned so much from him, specifically on like the design elements of a painting. I feel like that mentorship, I was with him for 11 months, and I really feel that it changed my artwork and the way that I approach a painting. You know, putting that painting in the iPad first, it was from him that I got that idea. So working with him was wonderful. And the second mentor, her name is Alex Garant, and she's an artist from Toronto. I'm currently working with her, and that mentorship is specifically about marketing. So, I wanted to sort of take all the things that I learned from Doug and keep practicing them and get really good at them. Marketing is probably not my strong suit at all. So I'm learning lots of things from Alex, and I'm continuing to work with her.
So how do these mentorships work?
Yeah, so I meet with my masters once a month on Zoom, and there's a group of eight of us that meet with the mentor. And it's actually really wonderful too, because you get to know the artists in your group just as much as you get to know the mentor, and mm-hmm. they become the artists that you chat about what you've learned and different things in the art world. Sometimes it feels like being an artist is a little bit isolating, but when you get out there, there's lots of people who are doing the same thing that you're doing, and so it's a wonderful way to connect. So we meet with our mentor once a month, and they usually leave us like some homework or things to practice. And then we also have what's called a mid-month meeting. So the master doesn't join us on that meeting. It's just the artists that are in the group, and basically it's just our chance to talk about whatever we want. So,
wow. So that really has helped you in your development, I guess, as an artist. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been a game changer for sure.
All right. So what role does emotion or personal experience play in your artistic expression? Because I mean, art is can be very personal, right?
Yeah, I think it plays a huge role, actually. Like I said, I grew up on a mixed cattle and grain farm, and that was just so special to me. And I definitely love the Canadian prairies that we live on. There's just like so much like nostalgia and a sense of home and beauty and joy in that. And you know, it's all that emotion and that personal experience that I want to pass on to my viewers, and that's what I hope connects with them.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. I can give you another cool example of that, actually.
Because is this kind of from your childhood, really, like growing up and...
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
On the farm and...
Yeah, it is. And I find like a lot of it goes back to that, actually. I have a few paintings where I call them my nosy cows. The cows are like sticking their noses through the fence to either peek at you or like sniff at your hand or whatever. And one of them, I had a viewer comment that she never grew up on a farm, but it really reminded her of going to her grandfather's farm growing up, and that it just kind of brought back all those memories of going there and spending so much time with her grandpa. And, you know, those are the things that I think are so cool, that, you know, those emotions that you can bring up for somebody else just from looking at a painting.
Wow. Yeah, that's a powerful image.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how do you decide when a painting is complete? And you know, when do you know it's time to move on to a new project?
Mm-hmm. Some paintings, it feels easier to know that it's done. So I kind of feel like there's two elements to that. The first is that I sort of go through like my mental technical checkbox. Kind of, have I kind of like, you know, satisfied all the design elements? Do all the design elements work? Or is there something like really wonky about, you know, the the animal or the whatever that is inaccurate or it just doesn't work. And then the other side of it is kind of like, are you happy or satisfied with it? And so with some of that or some paintings, that happens really easy, and some of it doesn't. Some paintings you tweak and you finally just have to decide that, you know, you're not improving it anymore. Again, I might put the picture of the painting in the iPad and fuss with it a little bit or put it away for a while. And, you know, there's some paintings that you've sort of satisfied all the technical and the design elements. And maybe I'm like, well, maybe it's just not what I see as my strongest painting, right? Because we're going back to that emotion, what connects with a viewer. Well, it might not just connect with me as much, right? But the odd thing is sometimes when you put that painting out there, that could be the first one that catches someone else's eye.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've sort of had to get over that a little bit, whereas if there's nothing like glaringly wrong in a painting, then it doesn't necessarily mean that it's, you know, like a bad painting. I've had to get the courage of, just because it's not my best painting doesn't mean it's not worth putting out there. So I've had to get over that a little
bit. And that makes sense that we've all had different experiences. So different things in a painting are going to, you know, resonate with someone differently, you know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. I recently did some paintings for an upcoming show that's online, actually, and the theme was flourish, and so spring. And the first thing I think of with spring is, you know, that lush green grass. And so I tried to incorporate that into all the paintings. And, you know, that was a challenge for me because I feel like I usually don't use green as much as some other colors. And so, you know, it would have been really tempting to go back and change them all, but I wanted to stick to the theme. And yeah, I think they're good paintings and I like them. And it just took me getting out of my comfort zone to use green instead of, say, orange or purple or something, right? Yeah.
All right. Now, the next question is kind of like, you know, picking your favorite kid, but do you have a favorite piece of your own work? And if so, what makes it special to you?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm sure they're all special, right?
Yeah, like in a way they are. They all have, like, for me, when I look at a painting that I did a while back, sometimes I think like, oh, like it reminds me of maybe like what was going on in my life, or you know what it sort of took to get that painting completed. Was it one that came together easy or was it one that I struggled with? But yeah, I actually have two. They're actually both paintings that I painted probably 15 years plus ago. And one of them is actually a watercolor painting of my brother and I's feet in Lake Minnewanka. He's since passed away. And so that painting has become like extra special to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one that that will be, you know, hung on the wall forever. And the second one is actually one that I feel like if somebody else looked at, they wouldn't think it's anything particular special. But it's actually like the backyard of the farm that I grew up on, and it's of a snowy winter morning, and there's, you know, snow sitting on the boughs of the trees. And that was the path that we always took like down to the barnyard. And so when I was coming back one day, I just loved how the light was filtering through the trees. So I snapped a photo and I ended up painting it. And, so that's just a cool one for me because, at the time there was like spruce and pine tree in the shelter belt and they were so small and now they are like so huge.
Oh,
right.
Really, yeah.
So it's sort of like this little snippet in time and now you can look at the same spot and see how things are changed. So yeah, those are probably two of my own favorite paintings.
Well, thanks for sharing those.
Yeah.
So, one of my last questions is how do you engage with your audience or community as an artist?
Yeah. So there's lots of things I do to try to communicate as an artist. The first, I have a website and it's kristinkieber.com. And then I try to send out emails to the people on my email list. So if you are listening and you would like to be on my email list, if you go to my website, it's on the homepage. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom, there's a form there to sign up. I'm trying to focus on that quite a bit because as most of us know, you can lose an Instagram or Facebook account lickety-split or, you know, the algorithms change and then all of a sudden nobody's seeing your posts anymore. So if you really want to stay up to date on what I'm doing and upcoming shows and events and that kind of thing, definitely sign up for my email list. But I am on Instagram and my handle is Kristen Kieber Artist. And I'm also on Facebook at Kristen Kieber Artist.
Okay. And that's kristenkieber.com.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. Just one more question. Is there anything else you want to add? Any upcoming events that you want to, you know, put a plug in for?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, I thought I'd share that I always have pieces hanging at Rogue Coffee Company in Killam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, if you go to Killam, it's on Main Street. You can't miss it. It's just a wonderful place. Go in there, grab some coffee, have some lunch. And, yeah, so I have some pieces hanging there. But there's also some upcoming shows, and one of them is right in our very own county here, Kerry, and that's the Battle River Art Club show. It's an annual show. They've been having it for years, and it's in the Sedgwick Community Hall, and it's on April 27th, and it goes from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Okay, that's coming up then. Next Saturday,
Yeah, next Saturday, that's right. A few other ones. I mentioned the Flourish online show, so I have three pieces in that. If you head on over to my website and you go to the upcoming events page, you can find the link to the Mastery is Flourish online show. So I have a few pieces in that. And then the Flagstaff Fresh Market is coming up.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's May 30th.
Yeah. And then the pieces that I'm going to have for the Calgary Stampede. So.
Yeah, and when is the Stampede this year?
The Stampede this year is July 5th to the 14th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so the style of shows that I am in are, like, my artwork will be there. I won't be there the whole time. I don't have a booth or anything to man. There's volunteers that man those shows. But, yeah, my work will be there.
So, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations again on that. And thank you very much, Kristen, for taking time out of your schedule to be here today. It's been a pleasure having you on the Flagstaff County Podcast.
Well, thanks again for having me, Kerry. And we chatted about it a little bit before, but you were telling me about all the awesome podcasts that you have to listen to. So I can't wait to go back and listen to some of those. And just thanks for featuring all the cool things that we have going on in the community and in Flagstaff County.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Yeah. All right. Take care. All the best.
Thanks. You too. Oh, 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 oh,